Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
And I was in the hospital for 5 days and completely bed rest with no energy at all for the next month. My business completely shut down. And I realized, okay, I had this business that I've been building, but I had messed up my own systems because everything was based on manual work. I had to go to work every day to do it. And I was like, this can't work anymore. And so what you want to do is stop and think about, okay, what happens if I want to take some time off? Do my prospects and do my customers still get something from me?
This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You'll also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. If you're looking to get started with Facebook ads, you're a total beginner and you'd like to learn how you can create profitable Facebook ads for less than $10 a day, don't miss my free streaming online workshop that I put together for you, which you can sign up for over at rickmulready.com/newbies. That's N-E-W-B-I-E-S, rickmulready.com/newbies. All right, here's today's episode. What's up, my AOPT friends? Welcome back to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. I'm Rick Mulready, and this is episode number 46. And today we're talking about one of my favorite topics, sales funnels. And what we're going to do today is I'm going to take you behind the scenes and share details of my own business, how I'm working to create funnels in my business. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast here from the beginning, you know that one of my goals here on the show is to share my own personal experiences with paid traffic and such. And today's episode is an example of that. Now, we've talked a lot about sales funnels here on the show, talking with Russell Brunson. We've talked with Jody Underhill. So, and there's going to be a whole lot more content coming about sales funnels as well, because I hear from a lot of you that it's one topic that you want to learn more about. So, because I love talking about them so much, we're going to talk about them again today. And I'm going to kind of peel back the curtains a little bit about what's going on in my business from a sales funnel perspective. And I'll be the first to admit that I've needed a lot of help when it came to getting better sales funnels in place for my business. Help from a strategic standpoint and also from an implementation standpoint in Infusionsoft, because I switched over to Infusionsoft last October, and I used to be with Entreport, and I made that switch for many different reasons. But I really, the base of it was I really wanted to create logical and better sales funnels for the business. And I felt like I could do that better and find better help with Infusionsoft, meaning contractors and so forth. Finding contractors to do work for you with Entreport is kind of difficult. And that was a big reason why I made the switch. I mean, that's not the main reason, but that was a big reason. And my funnels in my business have been all over the place. And frankly, they still are. I mean, for the main website, for rickmulready.com, so when someone comes to that site, and maybe you've done that yourself and you've opted in, I'm giving away right now a ton of information all up front. And it doesn't even lead to a sale. I don't have any kind of offer. I mean, I've had people reach out to me and be like, dude, I just opted in on your website and I'm just getting all this awesome information from you. Literally, this is what they told me. And I keep waiting for an offer. I keep waiting for you to put something in front of me that I can buy from you, and there's nothing there. And I'm like, yes, I know. I'm working on that. So that was one thing. Another thing is that I have my Facebook ads for beginners streaming workshop, that when people watch that workshop, they have the opportunity to continue their training with my FB ads for newbies training course. And when people sign up for that webinar, they either obviously attend it or they don't attend it. And then they go through a follow-up email sequence, a sales funnel, if you will. But what I'm doing right now is not the smartest thing. I know that when they go through that sales funnel, and if they don't enroll, I'm currently not doing anything with them to recirculate them and give them more content that is helpful to them. And that's not a good thing. I realize that. I mean, they're getting my broadcast emails when I send them out, but I need to do better with that as well. I'm being really transparent with you here today. So that was another hole, if you will, that I wanted to plug in the business. Another one is, you may have experienced this yourself. This, when I do a paid traffic bonus, when I give away something, when I put together a cheat sheet or a helpful video or whatever it might be for you here on the podcast, and you go over to the show notes page, and if you download it, you know, you get that, whatever that the bonus is, but that's it. I'm not following up with you in any kind of way. And that's, I need to be doing a better job of that and building a relationship with you. So that's another part of the sales funnel that I need to improve upon. And then the other one is kind of the biggest one is the, as we call it, like the general nurture campaign, where you're just sort of sending regular emails out on an automated basis, where you're just offering content and helpful, you know, tips and advice and book recommendations or videos or whatever it might be to people on your email list to keep them engaged and to get them to, to further that relationship with them. And I don't have that right now. And it's something that I've wanted to put into place, but I just have not done that. And so as you can see here, I have a lot of areas where I'm leaving money on the table. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not a case where I'm like, ooh, I have to be making, this is all about just making money from these sales funnels. Well, it is about making money, but it's also giving better content and more content to people who are on my email list and recirculating them through in a logical manner. And I'm not currently doing that right now. Again, I'm being completely transparent with you today. And so my goal here is to be creating better sales funnels that will help plug a lot of these holes, if you will, that I'm just talking about here. And, you know, I also need to do a better job, as I mentioned just a minute ago, of building a relationship with my email list and giving them better content on a more regular basis. And so this funnel strategy, and I've known this for a while, and so because of that, it's a topic that I talk about quite a bit in my masterminds. I'm in a few different masterminds, and I brought it up, I don't know, probably at the time of recording this, probably about three or four weeks ago in one of my masterminds. And one of the guys said, you know what, I have a guy for you to talk to. This is what he does in his business, and his partner will implement everything for you in Infusionsoft if you want to. Now, the cool thing about today's episode is you don't need to be using Infusionsoft to get a lot out of what we're about to talk about. But since I'm using Infusionsoft, he said, yes, his partner is certified with Infusionsoft, et cetera, and she is just a ninja in the system there. And, you know, in the very least, set up a conversation with them and see how they might be able to help you out. And I didn't know who it was at the time. He didn't mention the person's name. As it turns out, he intros us via email, and I'm like, oh, I know this person. I met this person at in Portland, Oregon, a couple years ago at the World Domination Summit. And I've actually seen him each summer that I go up to Portland. And so it was funny because I already knew this guy. And so he's been offering to help me for a long time, actually. And it's just funny how it kind of worked out. So long story short is that I hopped on a strategy call with him. His name's Eli Delaney, and he runs yourmarketinguniversity.com. And one part of his business is that he and his partner, Cindy, will strategize sales funnels with you and even create and implement, like they're doing for me, these sales funnels for you and your business if you want to. And that's how we're working together right now. I mean, we had a strategy call. They mapped out my entire business from a strategic sales funnel perspective, and now they're creating and implementing everything for me, which is amazing. I just have to create the content, which is a lot of work right now. It's a lot of email writing and getting this in place, but I know that's going to add a ton of value to people who are on my email list for a very long time. So today with Eli Delaney, you're going to learn more about the process that I went through with he and his partner. He'll break down the sales funnel strategy, what types of sales funnels that you need to have in your business, if you already have funnels in place, what you need to be looking out for, how to create funnels for your business when you're not using software like Infusionsoft or Entreport, and we cover a whole lot more here today. Really excited to bring you this conversation, and excited to kind of peel back the curtains and be very transparent with you in what's going on in my business and what I'm doing to improve it. So without further ado, here's Eli Delaney. What's up, Eli? Thanks for coming on the show here.
Oh, thank you, Rick. It's my pleasure to be here.
Cool. So I've just given everybody kind of a background and kind of given people where I've been at with my sales funnels, or lack thereof, I should say, in the business. But and I've talked a little bit about, you know, sitting down with you and Cindy and going through things. But I want to start off here with, what's your background? I know you've been doing this a long time. We've been in touch, and I told that story in the introduction too. We've been in touch over the past couple of years, just, you know, back and forth a little bit, but now we're really starting to work together. And give people an idea about what you have going on in your business.
Okay. Well, it's really interesting because we have three different kind of divisions to what we do. The front end is more my side, which is the strategy. And I'm also the face of the company. It's Your Marketing University. I do a lot of training courses and things like that. But when we started setting all that stuff up for us, one of the things we did was we jumped on very early using Infusionsoft, which is, you know, a lot of people are using them. And unfortunately, a lot of people are using them like a basic autoresponder. And so I figured out cool ways to use it, which kind of led to the next piece of a lot of other people going, okay, we really need some help with this. So we've now created our Done With You and Done For You stuff too, helping primarily Infusionsoft users basically map out their process. And it's not even just Infusionsoft users. It's actually more of a, what do you really want to have happen in your products, in your funnel, how you communicate with your customers, and actually coming into it with an actual plan instead of just going by the seat of your pants. Because most of us, that's what we do, and we realize that we're actually leaving a lot of money on the table, and we're not building the relationships that we should with people.
Yeah, and that's really what I saw too in my own business. You know, I was actually just talking to somebody this morning, and we were sort of talking through, the sales funnels and the type of work I'm doing with you and so forth. And you know, she used the analogy of, we have a bucket of water here that has holes everywhere in the bucket, and mm-hmm. we're plugging them up here because, frankly, just like you just said, we're leaving a lot of money on the table. And, you know, one thing I loved about when we started working together was we had that strategy session that you talked about. And, you know, we had an initial conversation, and then we set the strategy session up from there. But that strategy session could have been enough. Like, you way over delivered on what you gave me as a result of that conversation. And then I had the option of working with you to, you know, as far as an implementation standpoint. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that you don't have to be an Infusionsoft user necessarily to get a lot out of a strategy session with you. And so let's talk about that strategy session that we did together. And I'm fine with having, you know, having some transparency on the show here. And just to kind of reiterate, like, coming into our conversation, I really didn't have a sales funnel, if you will, in place. Like, I had sales funnels every now and then, meaning if I did a launch of, you know, the FB Advantage training course, which is my flagship, you know, Facebook ads training course. If I did a launch for that, I had a funnel in place. Or, you know, with FB Ads for Newbies, which is my beginner's Facebook ads course, where I run Facebook ads and I have an automated streaming workshop set up for people. There was a funnel there, but then at the end of that, there really wasn't anything going on at the end of that. And mm-hmm. then, you know, for people coming into my main site, you know, I have an opt-in, obviously, and I, you know, my problem there was, and I say this lightheartedly, shall we say, I was giving away too much information all up front. When people opt in. In fact, I've had a couple people say to me, they're like, dude, I went through your main opt-in there. I got all your information and I kept waiting for an offer from you, but I never got it. Like, what's the story?
So, and you know, that's a good problem to have because that's easy to fix. You know, that's the funny thing about it is it's when you hear those kind of things, it's like, oh man, what? Okay, what was I thinking? And yeah, I see that all the time. And I'm just as guilty of it. I come up with those things just as well. But what we do, you know, it's just like that thought process of really thinking things through. And one of the analogies, especially like when you and I were talking, or you and Cindy and I should say, because, you know, Cindy's my partner. She's usually more of the behind the scenes person. She's the one that actually is in Infusionsoft every single day. Mm-hmm. You know, every one of their support staff knows her by first name, if that tells you anything. but you know, we get on these strategy mapping calls, and the analogy that I like to say with it is actually giving you a visual blueprint of all those moving pieces. Because you said something very important is you have these funnels, but you have a funnel for somebody opting in from a podcast, somebody opting in to an ad you did to a webinar, or, you know, all these different things. But then they're all freestanding pieces. And I want you to kind of imagine like an old style pocket watch. And if you actually think about it, a pocket watch is a whole bunch of little tiny gears that are all spinning. And any one of those individual pieces is okay and it works, but there's like 200 of them in the palm of your hand. Mm. And the idea behind actually mapping out what you do, and by the way, when I say mapping out, this can be a flow chart, this can be bubbles, it could be, I like man maps, that's the way I do it. You could use a whiteboard, it really doesn't matter how you do it, but what you want to do is figure out what are those little gears in your business and how do they fit together in order to make it a bigger, cooler machine.
Yeah. And that's where, like, I realized, and I've known this for a while, but I was leaving a lot of money on the table, where meaning I wasn't circulating people back through things. And I don't mean that in like a scammy kind of way. I was doing people a disservice who were coming on to my or coming into my business in some way, and I wasn't doing a very good job of sort of weaving them through, if you will, different sequences or different funnels, if you will, through the business and getting the right information to them. And I think that we've talked about funnels here on the podcast a lot. You know, I've had Russell Brunson on, I've had Jody Underhill on, and I'll link I'll link the show notes for those episodes in the show notes. But you know, we've been talking about funnels on the podcast here a lot, but yet I still had a lot of things I need to improve upon, which I'm really excited that we're doing right now. Can you kind of take us through? So here are the opt-ins here are the funnels. I'm reading off some notes here that I want to make sure I covered all the funnels that we're doing, because we're doing a lot. We're doing, you know, if I do a joint venture webinar, for example, or if I do the bonus, when I do a paid traffic bonus here on the podcast and someone opts in for it, the main site opt-in, the general nurture, the follow-up after somebody goes through, like I mentioned before, my FB Ads for Newbies course and going through that, or not going through the course, but going through that webinar sequence. Can you kind of talk about the strategy behind sort of linking all these together and really why we wanted to not just have, how we kind of connected all these? Can you kind of talk through that?
Yeah. So the number one thing to think about, and this is, you know, we've already talked about this, but I want everybody listening to kind of think about this too, is that first off, think about what is it that you like to see and hear? What's the relationship you like to have with somebody who's going to sell you something, period. It doesn't matter what it is. And we've all been there where we've had sometimes where we had a great experience from a company and bought some stuff and the stuff was great and then we never heard from them again. And we've been in that situation. And then we've been on the opposite side where you bought something for somebody and all the next day they're pitching you. And then they're pitching you every single day for the next 2 years or until you just finally say, get me off your list. And so those are just two extremes. So you want to stop and think about what is that nice middle ground that where it's okay for somebody to make an offer to sell their products and services, especially as long as it's something that's going to help them. But at the same time, give a lot of education and build the relationship as well. So it's not just about the dollar. And so for like what we did with you is we looked at say somebody comes into your podcast. So they listen to the podcast. They say, okay, yeah, I want the PDF because that is so awesome. I definitely want that. You kind of introduce them to who you are, and you give them the value from what's on the PDF. But then a lot of people call it an onboarding process of letting people know, hey, by the way, this is who I am. This is how, this is the type of stuff I like to share. And here's a tip. Here's a resource. And the great thing about doing that is you can give a lot of value by just saying, hey, by the way, here's a video on YouTube that I thought was cool. I thought you might like it. And it doesn't have anything to do with you or your stuff. It may be like, say, for instance, you're in marketing, just like, you talk about Facebook ads, that you could do like an old Jim Rohn video, something that's motivational, or an old Tony Robbins something. And, it's just something to say, hey, by the way, I saw this. I thought it'd be really good. Hopefully it'd help you out. And just showing that you actually care. And then when you do you have a few of those going out every once in a while, just building a relationship, letting people know what's going on. And then all of a sudden you have to say, hey, by the way, I have this thing coming up. I'd love to be able to, take your business to the next level with it. Then the sale piece is really kind of an afterthought, and it makes it really easy. But the great thing about it is people are much more warm and more likely to say, you know what? Yeah, I want this. And so you get somebody comes in, say, from the podcast, you have that introduction, you basically nurture them, build a relationship with them with the idea of that long term. And then every once in a while you say, hey, by the way, here's something cool that I'm working on. I think it'd be great for your business. Let me know if you want it. And it really is that soft.
Now, one of the questions I get here, Eli, is that how long does that nurture have to be, or how long does that introduction have to be before you start pitching, if you will, or introducing a product or service that you have to people? Is there sort of a right or wrong? Is there a best practice there?
I think that if, especially in a situation who's just brand new to your list, if they came in from something like, say, for instance, you come in from your podcast, we'll use this as an example. Mm-hmm. If they came in from your podcast, then they came in fresh, it's okay to introduce them to something that will lead to a paid product pretty quickly. And here's one of the best ways to do it. And I think, this is something that we're working on with you, is that you introduce them, by the way, here's the PDF you wanted, here's a tip or trick. And then, by the way, I have this webinar coming up, you should come check it out. And of course, on the webinar, you're going to offer one of your courses.
Right.
And so it's education. Again, it's relationship building, you're adding value. But there is an offer at the end. And so it's an afterthought again. That's always keep me like the mindset of it's there, but it's an afterthought. And so when people see that, they're not going to be annoyed by the fact you're just pitching them, and it's just a different mindset behind it. Now, if say, for instance, somebody came in from a webinar, we're going to flip the site a little bit. Maybe they started at the webinar. So you're doing the webinar and then you're offering something right then, so they're still really new right at that point.
Right.
At that point, I would say once the offer is done, so maybe you've sent them a couple emails saying, hey, you got 48 hours or whatever, then I would say slow it down a bit. Give them a few weeks to kind of get other stuff. And now that other stuff could be, hey, here's an interview that I did on my podcast. Here's another PDF that I found. Here's another video. Maybe it's a book you recommend, which, by the way, there's nothing wrong with having a book and having a link to Amazon, which you could be an affiliate for. Sure. There's nothing wrong with that. Nobody really is going to be upset by that. But it's not a hardcore pitch. And so then you can give a few weeks. And I like to do, usually in that situation, I like to do between 4 and 6 weeks. Give them some breather, give them a lot of stuff. It's about relationship building, get them hot and excited about all the cool stuff that you give them. And then when you have an offer, they're like, okay, cool, let's check this out. And they're excited about it because, one of the things that I was taught on very, very early on is, one of my mentors is, actually was my first mentor in the internet marketing space, was Armin Warren. And one of the things that he taught me was that no matter what it is, you need to make it so the mindset of your prospect, the person who comes across you, whether you're speaking, whether you do a podcast, whether you do a webinar, doesn't matter where they get a hold of you, the mindset should be, A, I don't need his stuff, but he gives so much value, I'm going to talk about him, I'm going to tell other people. B, I'm not ready yet, which sometimes could be a financial situation, but when I'm ready, I'm going to buy from him because all the stuff that he did was so awesome and so helpful. Mm-hmm. And C, oh my gosh, what he gave was out of this free thing was so powerful. I can't wait to see what's inside the box.
Just it's because you've given so much value over that period of time.
Yeah. And we're not talking a whole lot of time. We're talking, you know, sending out a couple of emails here or there that are just, you know, links to blog posts, links to videos, just little things that are just education, no pitch, and then saying, hey, by the way, I have this cool thing. And to kind of show how this works, I have somebody who now, I think it's like 4 months ago, who bought one of my programs. And he's been on my list for over 3 years. Yeah. He came in from a webinar. And just because I have this long-term relationship building, it was the right time at the right place. And we as marketers have this one problem with the fact that we want people to buy yesterday. And we don't want them to buy next week, next month, next year. That's too long because our ADD kicks in and we want to move on to the next person.
Nothing wrong with that. No,
I don't. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Of course, we want them to, but it doesn't happen most of the time. You have to build a relationship. I've had times, I have one woman that I actually had known her, and this was more, I was still back in my web design days, but the same principles that I'm talking about here worked in an offline one-on-one conversation scenario. I had known her for over 10 years before she came to me and said, okay, I need you to help, you know, talk to me so we can build a website. And I was like, okay. And we sit down, have a conversation. I talked about, you know, figured out what she needed, gave her a price, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, who else are you talking to about this? Because, you know, most of the time when we're looking at spending that kind of money, we bid it out to a couple of people.
Sure.
And she was like, well, I'm not talking to anybody. And I was like, really? Well, why aren't you talking to anybody else? She goes, Eli, I've known you for 10 years. You've given me so many tips and tricks and resources, and you've always been there to help answer questions that I've had. I don't think I'd trust anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's such a good lesson. Yeah. It's such a cool place to be.
Right.
And so if you can do that with your prospects and the people that are in on your list and the people you connect with, that it just makes it so easy.
So a couple of questions coming out of here. I mean, what we're talking about, I talk a lot about, you know, when we're using Facebook ads, everybody always asks me, well, can I sell directly off of Facebook ads? And, you know, generally that's not the strategy that I recommend. It's very hard to sell directly off of an ad. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I mean, for everybody listening, I talk about that quite a bit. You know, you drive to some sort of a lead magnet or some sort of content, and then you start the relationship from there. And then you get them into that know, like, and trust factor. And this is what we're talking about right here, Eli, is that, you know, you have to be following up with them, build that relationship with them first. And then, especially because of the mindset of people on Facebook, they're not there to share, or they're not there to shop. They're there to share with their friends and family and catch up and updates and videos and so forth. You know, you have to build that relationship with them first before offering the, you know, the sale of the product or service that you really want to get in front of them. Now, let's talk about, I want to kind of take it from two different perspectives here. So for the more advanced marketer, because we have a little bit of everybody here listening to the show, from people just starting out and you know, getting their feet wet with this, to more advanced people who have been doing paid traffic and really want to kind of pick up a thing or two, what would you say? Let's start off with the beginner person, and they're like, okay, I get this, but where do I even start with this? Where do I even start with coming up with a strategy for, you know, let's just keep it basic, a basic sales funnel for their business?
Okay. So the very first thing that I would recommend, and this is actually, and I've got something to even share for this. I have a process I call the networking follow-up blueprint. And it's something I want to go ahead and give it to all of your guests. And this is a great way to start. If you're brand new, this is going to be the best thing to think about to kind of change your mindset behind this entire process. And let me give you the link on it before I forget, because that's, you can go grab this anytime. It's ymurocks.com, like your marketing university. ymurocks.com/Rick.
Okay.
And
awesome.
that guide is basically a way you go, you meet people, whether it be at conferences, seminars, even if you're doing local stuff and going to chambers of commerce, stuff like that, even, you know, sitting at Starbucks. It doesn't matter where you are, but you meet people, you make connections. And networking is a very powerful tool. You know, that's how we met. You and I met at WDS 2 years ago.
Yep.
And so thinking about how do you follow up, because most of the time people will send an email if they're lucky and say, hey, it was great meeting you. You know, we should chat sometime. And that's the end of it. What I do is I actually think about, no, we're going to send that email, but then I'm going to connect with them on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Google Plus. And then I'm going to send them a link to a book that I think is really powerful. Not my book, but another book. And then I'm going to pick up the phone in 2 weeks and say, hey, by the way, just want to touch base, see how you're doing. Is there anything I can help you with? Which, by the way, that's a huge, huge question. You want to help people out. You want to get your audience to pay attention to you. Ask the question, how can I help you? And it's amazing how people will actually be shocked by that. They don't get it because they're not asked that question enough. And so this thought process, okay, now a month later, we're going to send them another email just saying, hey, by the way, how's it going? Just thinking about you. Here's an article that I read yesterday that I think could be really powerful. And you just kind of think this through, but you think this through 6-12 months down the road. And just map it out, write it down. Mm-hmm. Now, you can take this exact same process that I'm teaching you. And by the way, the guide kind of walks you through exactly what I just said, only in way, way more detail.
Okay. What's the name of it again?
That is the Networking Follow-Up Blueprint.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Okay. Now, you can take the exact same process and say, okay, somebody has connected with me. They've gone to my ad. Maybe they've seen an ad, which has an opt-in page. So when they first get there, obviously you want to give them whatever it is they signed up for. But step one is, hey, by the way, here's your PDF or here's your video. Step two is you've got to get them to consume it. That's the relationship building side, because I can't count the number of PDFs I've downloaded and never actually done anything with.
Right, sure.
Because we just get busy, right?
Yeah, of course.
But if I got an email from somebody 2 days later and said, hey, by the way, did you get a chance to download it? Did you read this thing in chapter 3? It's going to catch the curiosity and go, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I should go stop and do that.
Haven't even opened the thing up yet.
Exactly. And so that causes engagement. And so you do a few of those and you spread them out over a week or 2 weeks maybe. And then the next step, of course, is, hey, by the way, that was just the beginning steps. You know, if I do a webinar, obviously my webinar is an hour long, but I have, you know, a training program that's, you know, 6-7 hours long. Obviously, I can't fit that into an hour. So if you want more, here's what the next choice would be. And see how we're just kind of saying, hey, here's the next step if you're ready to go or when you're ready to go. And you see how it's very casual, you know, and it's about the, hey, I'm here for you. What can I do to help you out? Here's some more cool stuff, you know. And then when you do make an offer, then it's a, hey, you know, if you're ready to take it to the next level, this is what I got for you.
Yeah.
Really cool.
And I think that, you know, I do kind of subscribe to the whole thinking. And I think that you and I agree with this, you on this. And I think we've talked about this before, is that, you know, give them information, give them offers in that with the thought of you're helping them and let mm-hmm. them tell you no. Like if they mm-hmm. want off of your email list, like, okay, go ahead and unsubscribe. And
oh, yeah.
Because you want the quote unquote right type of people on your email list, the people who want to get your content, the people who want to be in your courses or you know, buying consulting from you or whatever it is that you're selling, you want those people on your list. And those people who, you know, are not your ideal customers, get them off the list.
No, definitely. Well, that's one of the things, like when I do an opt-in on just about anything, I still ask for name and email. And a lot of times I will specifically say first name, last name, and email. And of course, there's a lot of people that will say, no, you need to get rid of those. Just ask for email address because people won't fill it out. Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing is that if they're not willing to put in their first name, their last name, and their email address, do you think they're willing to give you their credit card?
Mm.
Probably not.
Have you tested that?
I have. My tests have been fairly small on it because I've actually had a couple of other people who have done some massive testing on it, and mm-hmm. they have ran into that. But it goes along that same lines of what you're talking about, is if they're not willing to give you at least a name,
yeah,
then they're probably not going to give you a credit card.
Interesting.
You
know,
and yeah, so it's something to definitely test it. Everybody's audience is a little different.
Sure.
But I go by that mindset. It's like, okay, if somebody's going to complain about wanting their name put in there, and they're too lazy to put that in there, they're probably not a good fit for me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a strategy session with somebody, most of the time, I actually have a fairly quick or fairly detailed questionnaire that I have them fill out. Now, you actually bypass that because we'd had enough conversations. Okay. You know, I let you off the hook on it.
Thank you. Appreciate
but most
that.
Of the time, I have about 10 questions that I ask. And if I get anybody who fills out the questionnaire and they don't fill it out completely,
yeah.
I immediately say, no, I can't work with you.
Now, are some of those questions based on what they have currently in place? Because I want to kind of like, let's kind of go over to the more advanced marketer side who maybe they have a bunch of funnels in place already. And I want to kind of get to the point of where could they start? Where could the more advanced person start or intermediate person start? The person that has funnels in place right now, where could they start to kind of begin to look at like, where can they plug holes? Where can they make sure that they're not losing money within their ecosystem of their business?
Yeah. One of the biggest things that, and this is one we're working on with you, obviously, is the general nurture concept.
Yeah.
You know, it amazes me because we'll go back to the use of Infusionsoft, and I love Infusionsoft. I'll say I have a love-hate relationship, just like most people do. It's a piece of software. I love it. We've been using it since 2007, so we've used it longer than a lot of people out there. They were a very small company back then, and it had way more bugs than it does now. But it is a piece of software. It's going to have bugs, so you kind of have to walk in the door knowing that that's going to happen. But what I find is people are spending a lot of money on it and then using it just to send a blast email, you know, a broadcast weekly newsletter kind of thing. And that's not what it's designed for. And that's not what anything should be designed for. You think about this. If your business is based around you stopping and writing that email every day, that's still a job.
Yeah.
And for most of us, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for some kind of freedom. And maybe we may be able to write that email from any coffee shop in the world. But yeah, you know, you don't really want to do that. And my story, I think I might have shared this with you, my story of where a lot of this really came to play for me was the fact that 2 years ago in March, I ended up getting sick. I ended up actually having a blood clot go into my kidney. And it put me in the hospital. And I was in the hospital for 5 days and completely bed rest with no energy at all for the next month. My business completely shut down. And I realized, okay, I had this business that I've been building, but I had messed up my own systems because everything was based on manual work. I had to go to work every day to do it. And I was like, this can't work anymore. And so what you want to do is stop and think about, okay, what happens if I want to take some time off? Do my prospects and do my customers still get something from me? And that's where more automation comes into play, and especially putting it in play as a newbie. But if you are advanced, this is the gold right here. Start building systems that will run even if you take the day off. As an example, we have our general nurture campaign is designed to follow up with people roughly on a weekly basis, which includes mostly education, but it does have offers, and it's a pretty complex creature. But the nutshell of it is that it has offers and education, and it runs for over a year and a half. As a matter of fact, I'm almost done with another set that's going to go into it. That's going to go probably push it to 2 years.
Wow, that's crazy. Okay, that's crazy.
So I could literally stop.
Yeah,
and let's say you're the Facebook ad guy. So let's say we just created Facebook ads and ran ads to an opt-in of something that was, you know, maybe my networking follow-up blueprint. I can do that. And so I can literally do nothing but run ads through that. And at the end of that process, they go into this long-term system and I can do nothing else.
Right.
All I have to do is monitor the ads and that's it. Everything else for the next 2 years just works.
Do you tell that story, I hope? Because I didn't know that story. That's a pretty powerful story for why you do what you do. Do you tell that story in your own nurture sequence or your onboarding sequence?
I actually don't, and I should.
You definitely should do that.
Yeah. Well, we've gone through some transitions of a couple of different iterations of what we do. One of the things I'm working on right now is packaging this concept, the stuff that we're working on, the type of things we're doing with you, is working on a way to package it a bit more generic for newbies that can't necessarily afford to have us do the full implementation for them.
Yeah.
Because I know that there's definitely a need for it. We haven't done it because we've done so much customization. I mean, we've implemented, or we're working on implementing and mapping out 5 different nurture programs, which you just heard the basic idea, but every one of those in the last 2 weeks has been different because everybody's other products are different, or the way their mindset works, or how their regular schedule works, or like you have certain days you can mail because you have you can't mail, excuse me, because you have your podcast emails going out and different things that are complicating the process. And so we've had a lot of customization, and I haven't figured out how to package the idea to make it easier yet, but I'm working on it right now.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. And there's definitely a need for it there in the marketplace. Now, what if somebody is not using, you know, a software like Infusionsoft or Entreport, and they're kind of handcuffed a little bit in that they're not able to, you know, tag and sequence people down different paths and so forth? If someone's just using like an AWeber or MailChimp, I mean, nothing wrong with those systems, but how are they supposed to look at setting up these types of funnels in their business? And is it even possible with using those systems?
It is possible, and not everything is possible, but there is ways to do a lot of the same basic idea. And so let's say, as an example, you have, we'll use like an AWeber or MailChimp type of scenario. Let's say you sign up for, somebody signs up for your free guide, free report, whatever. They get in there and you have a certain amount of stuff. Well, if you can set it up to where when they get added to that list, they also get added to your general list. And that can be a different autoresponder sequence that is a long-term situation. Okay. And so, but you have it so that first email goes out in, say, 30 days, you know, so there's a delay in there. It's not as great, you know, because like with Infusionsoft, and I'm assuming Entreport does the same thing. We haven't used them personally because all of our customers just happen to use Infusionsoft. Mm-hmm. But they're same basic idea.
Yeah.
You don't have the tagging ability. So one of the advanced features that going with something like Infusionsoft has is that you can then, if somebody buys product A, you can basically tell the system to work around and never sell them product A again and only sell them product B, C, D, E, or F. And so there's ways to make that happen. And those kind of things are much more complex. You can't do those in a lot of the basic systems. But there's some pretty cool stuff you can do with it. But you just need to think of, how can I have these things, you know, step one is give them what they ask for. And step two is educate them before pitching them.
Yep.
And think that through. And it can be done. We have several clients. Like, I'm actually a fan of eye contact. I've used them for years. I used them for years before, well, not really years, but for quite a while before we had switched to Infusionsoft. And the only reason we switched was because Infusionsoft just did more. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a fan of them. I have several clients. We've helped set up a lot of these sequences for them. Some of it is a bit more manual. But if you can do a half an hour's worth of a manual labor instead of, you know, 2 or 3 hours every week's worth of manual labor.
Yeah.
You're saving yourself a ton.
Sure, sure. So one more question there, and then I want to kind of sum up here everything that we're talking about here, because as you know, I can talk about this forever.
Yeah, me too.
I love talking about this stuff. So the one question I get a lot is, how many emails per week? How many should I be sending out to my list? Everybody has a different viewpoint on this. What's your viewpoint on it?
Okay. There's a couple of pseudo rules. Number one rule is probably for, I would say, I'll guess 90% of the people listening to this, whatever amount of email you're sending out right now, you should probably double it, because most people don't send enough.
Yeah. I've been one of those people.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm on your list. I know. but, you know, and most of the time we think, oh, well, you know, we just want to send them that once a month a newsletter thing. Well, number one, nobody reads newsletters anymore. Nobody wants newsletters. They want an email with valuable information from a trusted friend.
Yeah.
And so first off, change your mindset behind it. Don't spend a lot of time putting into this crazy email, this crazy newsletter. Send an email that says, hey, by the way, you know what? I just finished this great book. You should check it out. Here's a link. That's your entire email. I mean, don't overcomplicate it. It amazes me because I have people who will send me stuff back and say, thank you so much. This was perfect timing. I'm just waiting for my copy to come up, or I just got my Kindle version. Thank you so much. You know, I have times where I do a podcast as well. And so I'll just send an email saying, hey, by the way, here's a great interview that I did with, you know, with Rick last week, and you should check it out. And that's the entire email. There's no fancy headers. There's no graphics, nothing. That's the entire thing.
Yeah.
And people are going to, oh, yeah, I should check that out. I need to figure out more about Facebook ads. Let me see what Rick has to say.
Right.
And it's that simple. And so those kind of things you can send out more often. I generally do roughly a week, and that's not exactly every 7 days, by the way. I like to mix it up. You want to be predictably unpredictable and go anywhere between, say, 5 and 8 days. And your list may vary. Maybe you'll find a list that you could do every 2 weeks is better for them. I know somebody who emails me every 2 days. And a lot of it I don't get to. I don't get to read every one of his emails, but I know he sends a lot of very valuable stuff, and I don't get upset by him sending so many emails.
Now, is that because there was an expectation set up front about how much content that you'd be getting? Or tell me more about that, because I think that's really interesting, and I think that is something that a lot of people fear. Is like, if I send too much, you know, if I send too many emails, people are going to get mad and, you know, get off my list, which isn't a bad thing necessarily, but there is a fear out there of sending too much.
Yeah. So he didn't say, hey, I'm going to send you an email every day. You know, because obviously that's going to put the blinders up really quick. What he actually did was he's like, hey, you know, here's a cool little trick. And basically when it started, it was something that I had bought from him, and he had emails fairly quickly. You know, I think it was like one a day following up on how to use the software better. And then they slowed down a little bit, but they didn't slow down too much. It was like, okay, first thing, it's every day, every day, every day. Now every 2 days, and then every 3 days, and then every 2 days, and every 3 days, and every 2 days. And then he kind of mixes it up a little bit. And again, his emails are very short. So it's not like I have to sit there and read anything. Some of them are literally like 30 words.
Really?
Including his signature. Yeah. And nice. Yeah. And there's great ways you can do that. You know, I mean, sometimes there's some people that take it too far. And like, you know, if I see one more email that the subject line is "you up," you know, because that one just drives me nuts. So are you up?
Take that out of my nurture sequence now.
Yeah. Don't do that. It was so overused. Somebody used it. I think it was Frank Kern used it first or somebody. And all of a sudden it was just like crazy. So, you know, it's just funny because that you can use little simple subject lines like that. You know, one of the emails that I send out, and by the way, this is something that I would recommend everybody do, is send out one email that is a simple thank you. Subject line can be thank you, and then just do a heartfelt short email of thank you for being on my list and trusting me with your time and your energy. And, you know, it amazes me how many people don't think about that. I mean, yeah. I've put that out there, and sometimes I've had people come back to me and say, you know what, that email was exactly what I needed to hear today.
Cool. So, it's simple. It's simple. Yeah. And I think there's a big lesson there that, you know, we don't have to overthink things. I am very guilty of this myself. We don't have to overthink, you know, what we're putting together from an email perspective to, you know, continue that relationship with our list. It, you know, oftentimes the simpler, the better. So, Eli, this is great. Let's kind of wrap up here with let's give a top three. So three things that people, and kind of summarize what we've been talking about here today. But, you know, from a funnel perspective, where should people start with their top three things? What should they do? And we can, you know, go from beginner to more advanced, wherever you kind of want to go with this.
Okay, so there's three campaigns that you really should have, and these are very, very simple. Number one is general, I like to call it general networking or networking follow-up, but these are basically general acquaintances, people that you meet here or there. You don't know if they're going to be prospects or customers, but they're people you should stay in touch with. Because if you're networking, which you should be doing, everybody here networks to some extent, then you need to stay in touch with these people, because that's how you find joint ventures, referral partners, potential, you know, vendors, all of that kind of stuff. And so that should be the first one that you have. The second one would be prospects, people who just come into your system and you want to build the relationship, educate with them. You talk to them a little bit different, because that networking follow-up is a much more soft, less offers, less pitchy. The next one, if somebody's a prospect, that means that they are interested. So you can offer a bit more. You can actually say, hey, by the way, you know, I've got this really cool program. And then the third one would be your customers. And this is the one that gets overlooked the most. Your customers, you need to build a long-term relationship with them too, because your customers become repeat customers and your raving fans.
Sure.
They've become your army of affiliates. And all you have to do is just touch base with them and say, hey, by the way, I just did a new video for you. I just want to share it with you. That'd be, you find it useful. Or, hey, here's another, you know, another PDF freebie or something. Just every once in a while, touch base. Or even, again, just that email that says, hey, just want to check in. How you doing? Is there anything I can help you with?
Yeah. Okay. Cool. This is great. This is great. Let's, where can people connect with you? Can you give the link again for, you know, the offer that you have, the freebie here that we're going to offer listeners here?
Yeah. That is YMU Rocks. So YMUROCKS.com/Rick. And as far as connecting with me, you can find me at yourmarketinguniversity.com, or look me up, social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google Plus, any of that kind of stuff. Go ahead and friend request me, you know, reach out to me. I love making new friends. I love connecting people. If there's anything I can do to help you out, definitely let me know. And do me a favor, when you try to connect with me, shoot a message saying that you heard me on this show, because I always like to know where people are coming from. And I get easily 10 new requests a day on almost every one of those platforms. So it kind of makes you stand out a little bit. And I'm definitely going to be more likely to respond much quicker with that.
Cool. And I'll be sure to link up all those links in the show notes for today's episode. Eli, thank you so much. This has been great. I hope that people get a lot of value out of this. I know that I have in working with you and Cindy, and really look forward to continuing our work together, because we certainly have a lot to do with putting all this stuff together. So thanks again.
Oh, thank you, Rick. It was my pleasure. I had so much fun with this. And you know, if there is anything else that I can do to help you out, reach out and let me know anytime.
All right. Hope you got a lot out of this conversation here with Eli, and that you learned a little bit about what I've been going through, or what I am going through in my business. You know, I'll be honest with you, it's a little bit of a challenge for me to kind of open up and talk about what some of my challenges are in my own business. But, you know, I'm taking big strides here to make improvements there. And as I've been talking about, plugging the holes in the sales funnels in the business. So I hope you're able to take away, you know, maybe some things that, you know, you were thinking about as you were listening for your own business, and you know, you can go back and try to make some changes, or reach out to Eli, or whatever it might be, to kind of make these changes in your business and make sure that, you know, you're covered from a sales funnel perspective and putting these things into place, because they're super, super important for your business. Again, I've linked up all the sites and the pages that we talked about today over on the show notes page, which is at rickmulready.com/46. And as we've been talking about quite a bit here in the podcast over the last several episodes, and as I mentioned, frankly, at the beginning, and actually throughout this episode, I'm offering a free streaming online workshop. So if you're a total newbie looking to get started with and learn Facebook advertising, maybe you're just now getting started building your email list and you're not yet getting a ton of traffic to your website, it's Facebook Ads for Beginners, How to Create Killer Facebook Ads on Less Than $10 a day. So if you'd like to attend this free streaming online workshop, just go to rickmulready.com/newbies. That's N-E-W-B-I-E-S. And you can sign up for a time there that works best for you. All right. That's all for today's episode, my friends. In the coming episodes, got some really good ones coming your way. We're going to be talking about emotional triggers and user behavior when it comes to landing page conversion and optimization. Really cool topic. We're going to talk more about copywriting, email marketing, and even the psychology of online persuasion. Really good stuff coming your way. Until then, though, my friends, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.